Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, and a very exciting one because we've got a fantastic guest, Katie Wicks.
Yeah, absolutely right. Katie Wicks, who we remembered over the course of recording this, was one of our first ever guests on Flatshare Slamdown. I think she did the second episode, maybe, so all those years ago. So it's fantastic to have her back on the other side of her writing a novel and becoming a published author or writing a memoir. So very exciting to have her back. And it's worth saying, some really, really good beefs one.
Yes.
So if you've got any beefs, if you've got any beefs in your own life, if you have a problem with the people you're living with, your partner, your flatmate, then get in touch at the usual email, which is
beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one. An unforgettable email.
An unforgettable email. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch today and tell us what you're up to. Also, if you like Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, we are doing a live stream of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. This is very exciting. We've never done this before because we've done our Flatshare Slamdowns over Zoom, but this is a live stream where we're going to have a variety of guests. They're going to solve a beef and then set up a beef for the next comedian to solve, and then it's going to be a little link. So we're calling it Beef Brothers Cold Cuts Sausage Link. There is a sausage link to tickets in the show notes for the show. You can find it on our Twitter or our Facebook or our Instagram. But the guests are absolutely out of this world. They are absolutely brilliant. We have got James Acaster.
We've got Darren Harriott.
We have got Lou Sanders.
We have got Ed Gamble.
We've got Fatia El-Ghori.
And Athena Kublenyu.
It's going to be a good show. We might even add more names, I don't know, but that's pretty good, isn't it? That's going to be some good people.
It's going to be astonishingly good.
So that's on May 23rd, Sunday night. Get your tickets now. It's going to be starting, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, London time. So it should be a really fun way to spend your Sunday. But let's get on with the episode, shall we?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Katie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for asking me to come on this show.
Is it the first time you've ever been on our show?
Is it the first time you've said a sentence out loud, I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah. First time speaking, long time listener, first time speaking. Yeah. Big fan of the show.
Because you came on Flatshare Slamdown years ago, didn't you?
I thought you said Flatchest Landdown.
Yeah, that's what we call it, Flatchest Landdown, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I thought I dreamt that.
I think that was our second ever episode, something like
but
that.
But honestly, it was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing this for 10 years, so it would have been about 10 years ago.
I don't want to annoy anyone.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to announce it every time you have a sip of water. Yes. Just have a sip.
Well, yeah, but I've got into trouble in the past for eating a carrot. I didn't want there to be a sort of ASMR.
Well,
that was the
podcast hosted by a load of rabbits, and you really distracted them. You really put them off, constantly munching away on a carrot. They couldn't focus on the questions they had prepared.
It was a long time ago, wasn't it? And I remember it was live. It was somewhere. And that's all I remember about it. Yeah.
It was live and it was somewhere. It was probably the new Red Lion, I think, in Angel.
Yeah, that's probably that. Right.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
God, we've been in each other's lives a long time.
This is the reason we've got you here. We're cutting you out.
Can you try and not say that so forlornly?
But we're at the age, aren't we, where nostalgia's all we've got.
You've heard the podcast before, though.
So sorry, I didn't mean it.
You know, they say you do Puppy's podcast twice in your career.
I would love it if you'd have finished that.
Once on the way out, once in the pandemic.
I'd love it if you'd have finished that sentence and then just interview and come a carrot that you just took a bite on. No, nostalgia's all we've got, Doc.
No, but there's been a lot of, don't you think, though, in lockdown, there's a lot of, like, you know, looking back on your life.
I felt the that sentiment of, like, us being in each other's lives. There was a comedian who was... had like a spot of illness and was kind of going through it and recovered, and I saw them in Edinburgh, and like he told me about it, and I said, like, it is funny because like every summer in Edinburgh we'd, like, instead of going on family holidays, we would go up to Edinburgh and all be there together through like really formative years of our life. And it's like, you know, that's when everyone else goes off and spends time with their family, and that's what we would be doing, and that's gone on for like 10-15 years. It is pretty incredible, really. There's a bond there,
mate.
Yeah,
that is,
I mean, yes, it's also
there's a bond,
mate,
film.
No one goes on holiday with their families once they hit 18, apart from you.
Yeah,
but you know,
that was
what
the only bit I wasn't sure about.
It's Edinburgh is longer than a family holiday, right? And also, I would say probably a bit more stressful than a family holiday. So it's almost like you know, it's rather than saying it's like a family holiday, it's like every summer we go to war. you go, oh, what are you doing with your summer? Oh, I'm going up to be in a war zone with a bunch of people I've grown to love, you know, in a sort of weird Stockholm syndrome kind of way.
It's quite romantic, actually, when we think about it like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I think of it quite romantically, yeah.
Never again.
So, no, let's not. We can't go back. Obviously, yeah, this is a flat share. It's a flat share base. Well, I'm trying to work out how to shift the gears between me saying it was like a war, Tom saying it's quite romantic. I'm thinking, well, is that romantic? Is war romantic?
It was, you know, like a war. I never saw you with a poppy on, though. Any Edinburgh.
That's a good point. Whereas you were on the streets handing them out, weren't you? A lot of people said you should have been flyering.
Those are your flyers.
Of my posters had a poppy on every
Katie
every
Wicks,
year.
Lest we...
Okay, someone said
Katie
this is
Wicks,
war.
Lest we forget, in the attic at 11 o'clock, starts with a 2-minute silence and finishes with one as well, upsettingly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What's your walk-on music? Well, this year I'm using the last post.
I'm playing it on guitar. I'm going to give it a good go.
Yeah.
Right. So, what kind of a flatmate are you? We've been up to Edinburgh with you. We've never lived in a flat with you. What kind of a person are you to live with?
Can't you just play the episode from 12 years ago?
Are you still, do you think?
Well, we should. And I'll just interject.
Oh, I tell you what. Yeah. How about this then? How have you changed as a flatmate in the last 10 years?
What, like, as in imagining I'm a flatmate kind of thing? But is it different if you live with, is a flatmate if you live with your partner?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Does that still count as being a flatmate?
That still counts as a flatmate. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty self-contained kind of a person. I'm pretty good.
Self-contained in what way? You keep yourself to yourself. You're very neat and tidy.
Yeah, like I don't sweat very much. I don't.
You're one of the people who never. You don't shed any dead skin, do you?
Like Prince Andrew. Andrew.
Yeah.
I went to the gym this morning and I was saying exactly this to my friend, that I don't sweat very much. And then
you also don't
do.
Exercise very much either.
Yeah,
you go to the gym, you just watch people and then leave.
That's why. I think I'm pretty considerate, and I mean, I'm a bit messy, but I think I'm pretty good on the whole. I'm pretty like in my own world.
And what? Yeah. So like you're messy, and you don't talk to people.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're looking for, then you're perfect.
Yeah. Exactly.
What kind of mess?
It's a good question. It feels really revealing. I have a habit of like leaving toothpaste in this like, you know, blobs of it in the sink.
Oh dear.
I know. But it's because I'm always late and I'm always in a hurry and I'm still getting used to this new idea of leaving the house.
I thought you were going to say cleaning your teeth. this newfangled science.
So I'm always just sort of rushing and I sort of clean it really quickly with my finger. Then I think I'll do it tonight. And then I just sort of forget and someone else does it. But I do have a habit of doing that. I have a habit of taking my contact lenses out and then leaving them in places and they've dried and crusted onto the varnish of a table or they've dried onto a surface.
Yeah, that happens in our household as well. I'm obviously a glasses wearer, but my wife is contacts and yeah, you'll just find them everywhere.
Yeah.
These little
yeah.
crispy things.
Yeah, because now I can afford dailies. I'm just going wild and wearing them all the time. And I love it.
My wife leaves the little... Does she leave her contacts places, she also leaves the little plastic cups that they come in with still with a little bit of water.
A little bit of everywhere, saline everywhere. Solution, yeah.
My life is dealing with dailies. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I leave the washing up. I never do the washing up immediately. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it a couple of hours. I really hate housework. I really resent it. I really hate domestic stuff. I'll do like one big tidy. I'll find a podcast I'm really looking forward to.
Yes, thank you.
Like this
one. Oh, wow. Wow. couldn't even get through it with a straight face.
One of the great actors of our generation, and here she is, unable to convincingly say that she
one of our first ever guests.
No, the reason I was laughing was because I knew it was going to sound okay. That's why I was laughing. Sure. And then I'll have like a really big tidy. I'll have like a scooch about, pick things up, and I'll have this sort of system where I can't. When I'm in the tidy, it needs to be really sort of economical use of time. So I'll have if I walk past something, I have to pick something up and move it as I'm going past and take something else for knowing that I'm going to walk back into the bedroom in a second. So when I'm tidying, it's very, it's like really layered thinking as I'm going. So like,
it's like the bag of grain fox and a chicken kind of.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, oh, I'll pick that up because I'm going to move that. And I'll drape that on my arm for when I'm going via the loo to there.
But I like that. Putting stuff all over, you know, like there's always stuff. Putting something over a shoulder, just think that's like, on the shoulder now.
I live in a flat, so I don't have stairs, but like it's such a strong childhood memory of my mum asking me to take something upstairs, and I would just put it on the stairs for next time I'm going up, and then someone would trip over it and I'd get shouted at. So I kind of miss not having stairs to put stuff on.
You get a ladder.
Yeah. Nothing's stopping me.
Nothing's stopping me getting a little ladder to push stuff on.
Get a step ladder.
Yeah.
A contact.
That's very IKEA, isn't it? Yeah, plant pot on a ladder. That's very IKEA to me.
It that smacks of sort of changing rooms as well.
Oh,
that
yeah, like which apparently is coming back.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, about a year ago, I was doing an interview for something and they said to me, which TV program would you bring back? And I said, changing rooms. And then I saw a month later, like a month ago, it's happening. And I sort of can't help but think
that
I've
bought it.
Do
you
mind just saying you'd quite like to see Babbles back? Do you mind just saying that out loud?
Are you a witch?
You know what I'd love to see back with a new cast is Babbles.
Oh no. Oh. Oh, she's done it.
I've done you.
Curses.
Oh my god.
You've been absolutely wicked there, guys. Absolutely wicked.
From the sorting out your beef.
Right, should we get into some of these beefs? Because the listeners will thank us for that. You know,
we're not getting any younger, are we?
No, exactly. It's been 10 years,
no,
for God's sake. We at least read one beef.
Not getting any younger.
No. Nostalgia is all we have. Let's get into the beefs.
Harry, give us one of yours.
Oh, wow. This is a beef that could not be more up my alley. A Tom Hanks beef from Danny via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Hello, pappies, and very special guest. Ooh. Oh, very nice. I have a beef, and you may be my only hope. After watching the Terminal on Christmas Day,
It's not a great Christmas film, is it? After watching The Terminal on Christmas Day.
It tickled me for some reason.
It got me as well. I wasn't expecting
that. Terminal on Christmas Day.
We've done the turkey. We've had the Queen's speech. Should we play charades? No. Let's watch The Terminal. After watching The Terminal on Christmas Day, my housemate, brackets wife, and I embarked on a quest to make 2020 the year of the Hanks, working our way through the full filmography of everyone's favourite big screen star. With approximately
should we tell him the year is 2021? Does he want to tell Danny that? Because he's missed his chance. If he's trying to make 2020 the year of the Hanks. I think, I tell you what, 2020 will be remembered for one thing, and it won't be Tom Hanks. I mean, Tom Hanks was certainly part of the story. He started it.
Let's not say he started it.
He was a celebrity patient hero.
He wasn't in the wet market chewing down on a bat.
He was hanging around the airport, spreading it all around the place.
Do you think that's how the pandemic story is going to be told in years to come? So Tom Hanks, right, started this virus.
Tom Hanks sneezed on his wife.
He got it early on.
Okay, so he did. Very he was early doors. Was. That's when people started taking
Once
it seriously.
The celebs got involved.
With approximately 50, and also something specific about Hanks. You know, like if it had been, let's think, if it had been Nicolas Cage. I don't think people would have been particularly worried. People have been like, oh, Nicolas Cage has got a cold.
It's because he's like, he's basically the world's uncle, isn't he, Tom Hanks? Mm. Yeah. He's sort of, everyone has a real personal sort of connection to Tom Hanks. It's a real you feel like you know him. You feel like he's your mate.
What?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What? I mean, it's hard to say what makes you feel so neutral because it's not really at all.
I just think, but, there he goes. Yeah, that's good acting.
There he goes.
Fine. Yeah. That's it.
I'd take that as a review.
Yeah.
If someone said, that's good acting for you, Tom, you'd be delighted.
You're not getting recast in Bad Alts, mate, no matter what.
Hey, Katie, I saw Tom Hanks in Edinburgh once. I was out on, he walked past me. I was over in Newtown and he walked past me. And I had flyers in my bag. And by the time he'd gone past me, I was like, fucking hell, I could fly a Tom Hanks here. So I kind of pursued him a little bit. He turned off into the Scotsman Hotel before I could get to him.
That does sound to be fair.
It's not a great anecdote.
I wonder what he was doing, why he was there. Have you ever stayed in the Scotsman?
No.
I did once.
Have you?
Yeah, it was a different world.
So, in what were the circumstances?
I don't remember. I think I don't remember, or I do, and I'm too embarrassed to say. I didn't pay for it.
That's the second one, isn't it?
I went there because someone else was staying there.
It wasn't
just one of those stories.
Hang on. Are you Tom Hanks's mistress?
No, I'm being neutral about it.
Is that why you feel nothing when you watch him on the screen?
Lady Duff protests too much. I feel nothing for him. That's why I was saying it. Because I'm trying to hide all the feelings.
Move on. I
don't feel anything that man.
Hank squirreled you into the Scotsman under a blanket.
Katie's crying now. She's crying uncontrollably. And she's snapped that carrot in half.
He said there's a guy following me on the Royal Mile with flyers in his bag. Quick. Crack open the minibar.
It was that thing where, the thing that happens only in films is like, quick, kiss me, pretend to be my girlfriend. But then that lasted for four nights.
Four nights in the Scotsman.
four passionate nights. Like Tom Hanks in The Terminal, you were
in
trapped
the special
in the Scotsman
view of the castle suite.
Oh,
beautiful.
Anyway.
We could write a film about it and call it The Scotswoman. It's a nice twist.
Yeah,
okay, so it's a little twist. Anyway, he's got the year wrong, but 2021 is going to be the year of the Hanks. So, with approximately 53 movies to his name, it's an achievable goal. And we've kept to par so far with 9 watched by the middle of February. We breezed through big Philadelphia. Can you breeze through Philadelphia? I don't think you can breeze through Bic. I don't think you can breeze through Philadelphia.
It's a classic romp, isn't it? When I think of a laugh a minute fast, I always think
it's a real Sunday afternoon film, isn't it?
What's your favourite screwball comedy? Well, obviously, it's going to have to be Philadelphia.
We breezed through Big, Philadelphia, Castaway, The Green Mile, etc. Then got super romantic on Valentine's Day with The Terminal. No, I'm only joking.
All of the big holidays. It's Christmas, it's The Terminal. Valentine's Day, it's The Terminal. Easter Sunday.
We got super romantic on Valentine's Day with You've Got Mail. Personally, I think you should have gone for Sleepless in Seattle. Here comes the beef. My strategy to ensure we tick everything off the Hanks list is to get through a few duds now. Let's get Bad Hanks out the way with Angels and Demons, Cloud Atlas and the Lady Killers over the next few weeks before returning to some top Hanks. My wife begs to differ, wanting to go straight to Apollo 13, Forrest Gump and Captain Phillips. I fear we'll peak too soon and not leave ourselves anything to look forward to later in the year. We've hit an impasse and I'm concerned we'll fall behind schedule, especially when we're allowed out of the house again to do something other than watch movies. So who's right?
And especially when you realise you're a year out already. I mean, you're 12 months behind on your schedule already. So
who's right? How can we create the optimum Hanks schedule? Please help, Pappies.
I basically had this exact discussion just yesterday, but about food. Well, you know when you like leave, what do you eat?
You're trying to eat every one of
your meal first or last. So like,
oh yeah, I know what you mean. Like, if
do you save it to the end or
that's no, you mix it in the middle, right? Surely.
And is that what you're going to suggest?
We've just found a third
for
option
for the films: one bad one, one good one.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to suggest.
I'm quite into delayed gratification. I really get off on it. So I would get.
So why you put things on the stairs? I would to take get, them I, later.
See if he's if his it's the phrase whatever he said rattled through. So he's not really watching them like you know with great care. So I think just stick on the bad ones and get your admin done. Yeah. And then like have something to look forward to. That's what I do. But I think one good one, one bad one is quite a good system.
I've got a suggestion,
which I think is too late because they've already leapt in willy-nilly in terms of order. But I would go for the system. Do chronologically, working front to back and back to front to alternate nights.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
that's really good.
So say on the Saturday, you do Tom Hanks's first film.
Greatest novel.
On the Wednesday.
Short stories.
On the Wednesday, you do his latest. They're short stories, aren't they? So like on the Saturday, you do his first film. On the Wednesday, you would do his latest film. Then you do his second film. Then you'd work back up the list and down the list. And I think by doing that, you're not already. Because I think one of the problems here is you're all saying, do a bad film, then a good film. Well, if you're pre-deciding that a film is bad, you're not going to go into Angels and Demons with an open mind, which I did. And let me tell you, I went into it with an open mind at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I quite enjoyed it.
That's all I'm saying. Say, I quite enjoyed The Lady Killers.
I mean, they might have different. You know, taste as well. They might have different opinions on what's good and bad.
Or, the other thing I'd say is go for alphabetical from now on.
That's good.
And therefore, it's just an arbitrary order. They're coming as the alphabet dictates, and then you don't know what's going to be
but
the
I
last
think
film.
Psychologically, people need something to look forward to at the moment.
So would you, I think what I would have done is left knowing you're going to finish on
Make
big.
Sure you finish on a, on I think, exactly.
Yeah.
On a like literally, yeah, finish
well,
big.
Pluck, lovely. Pluck out a film that you know you're both going to enjoy. Decide together and go, right, well, we'll put that one to one side and then we'll employ the system, the chronological system. I think that's good.
Put it in the safe.
It's almost like watching them at random a little bit, your system, Parry, but it isn't quite. But at the same time, this should be a fun venture, right, for Danny and his partner. This should be fun, but it seems like already it's becoming a bit of a sort of chore and a bit of a bugbear. That's not what you want. So remove that element of thought, you know, remove that element of decision, and you can just have fun.
So
what is it tonight? We know it's Angels and Demons. Yeah. Ah, well.
Can we go one better, guys? Can we recommend the Hanks film that they save till last? If we make that decision for them, we know the ones that they've already seen, right? Yep. So can we...
So Charlie Wilson's War is up for grabs.
Charlie Wilson's War's going in. Absolutely right.
I do like Charlie Wilson's War. I did have a good time. I couldn't tell you what it was about. I've definitely seen it. Couldn't, with a gun to my head, tell you who Charlie Wilson was or why he had a war.
He was horribly miscast.
Did he go to Edinburgh? Did he? Yeah. Was it about his first Edinburgh?
What about Larry Crown? No. Have you ever seen that one?
No, what's Larry Crown?
It's the one where he's riding a motorbike with Julia Roberts on the back. I think that's just the poster. I haven't seen the film. It is the poster. Okay, so Casey Wicks, you famously feel nothing towards Tom Hanks, but is there a Tom Hanks film that holds a special place in your heart that you would recommend?
It's a struggle.
For these good people that we can...
I can't think of a single Tom Hanks film that I feel really, really excited about seeing right now, that I feel really passionate about. I've got quite pretentious film tastes, I'm sorry.
But I mean, what? You know, there are some ones that, you know, even people who are quite pretentious might enjoy. You know, surely you're surely Sleepless in Seattle, right?
I saw it once years ago. I've got no desire to see it again.
Dragnet.
The only thing.
Obviously, Dragnet with Dan Aykroyd.
Was that like? Was he in Turner and Hooch? Was that him?
He was in Turner and Hooch.
Probably
yeah.
Philadelphia.
I've got quite pretentious taste.
Loving Philadelphia. I'd watch that again.
I was gonna say what.
I would make a case for the Toy Story trilogy.
Oh, I forgot about that. So I saw the first one when it came out, but that's the last time I saw a Toy Story. And then I was made to watch all the others at Christmas. And I loved them. I did love them. Yeah,
they're
I
great.
Really loved them.
Here's the thing, though. Do you watch those
very,
in order?
Very, very tight plotting.
Yeah. Just stop at three, though, isn't
finish
it?
On the
stop
fourth.
At three.
Yeah. Yes. I really enjoyed them.
Why... Yeah, well, you just finish.
I'd end
three.
On Toy on a Toy Story. Yeah, definitely. I've decided.
End on Toy Story 3. So you're saying, so the rules are, you end on Toy Story 3. So you're putting one to end on. That's Toy Story 3. You're putting one that you're not going to watch at all. You're just going to disclude it, and that's going to be Toy Story 4. And then everything else, you're going from back to front and front to back.
Just think about how they're going to finish their Tom Hanks year. It's a spoiler, but if you imagine the last scene of Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah.
That is how you're finishing. You're literally saying goodbye to Woody. There will not be a dry eye in that house.
What happens in 4? Where's the one where they go to the other... What happens in 4?
That's 3. 4 is the one with
4. Oh, yeah, I haven't seen 4 yet. Haven't seen 4.
Oh, fucking spoiler alert, there's a fork in it.
Great.
But again, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Discount that one.
Learn when to stop.
I think that's beef solved.
Yeah, I love it.
Beef from the sorting out your beef! Beef solved!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dear Beef Boys and guest, that's me. My neighbour, John, not his real name, does some sort of shift work, leaving at 4 a.m. and returning about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Over the last couple of years, his car has occasionally woken me up, at which point I would smugly think, another 3 hours in bed, and promptly fall back to sleep. During lockdown 3, however, John appears to have had a midlife crisis/breakdown and bought a motorbike. Not just any motorbike, a big stupid red thing that sounds like a firework display every time he starts it up. It's so loud that it shocks me awake every day and could be heard roaring away for a good half a mile until it disappears up the nearest A road, and I'm so angry by this point that I can't get back to sleep. It's become so unbearable that I often automatically wake up a few minutes before he turns the thing on, riddled with furious anxiety. I know it's also affecting my elderly neighbours who have, this is in capitals, started going to bed earlier to accommodate their rude awakening. Beef bros, what can I do? He must know how antisocial it is, but am I really in a position to ask someone to change their vehicle, even if it's a stupid piece of tin? I've considered setting fire to it, but he'd only buy something even worse with the insurance money. So what's the point? Any advice greatly appreciated. Claire, not her real name.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
That's tight.
That is a beefy beef.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, you've got to feel for the guy. Automatically, as soon as I heard he's got a 4 a.m. start, I thought, that's really tough on a person. And I appreciate that, obviously, you know, when you're waking up half the neighborhood, that's not fair.
Yeah.
But they have the opportunity to go back to bed. And they, even if they can't sleep, they can lie in bed for another 3 hours. He's off there at the
cold face.
I get it,
but I'm really sensitive to noise. And the first thing I'd say to her, in the short term, she wants to get earplugs. But the trick is to find, it took me ages to find the right earplugs because I've got really small ear canals and loads of them really hurt. So I get special ones off the internet and they are so comfortable and now I'm fine. It won't solve the problem, but it might stop the shock, the abruptness of it when the... So that's the first thing. But I actually do think that if he's forcing an elderly couple to go to bed earlier and that it is, you know, she could call, like, I can't remember what they're called. The people you call.
The 80.
When your neighbour's making noise.
The council?
Citizen's
the
advice. Because I do think that it is, there's a certain amount of decibel, isn't there, that if you go over it's illegal. But I don't know what the number is.
I wondered if that was... case.
There's a guy 4 or 5 streets away from us who's got a motorbike like that, and I just think those vehicles are the personification of selfishness. They are the embodiment of a person who is not thinking about anyone else other than themselves. They're not thinking about the planet. They're not thinking about their neighbours. All they do is they think they look cool because they're sat on something loud and it's...
I mean, the thing is, though, we don't know what this guy does. He might be saving lives. It might be like organ, you know, donor box on the back of a motorbike. And as you say, it's grim waking up at that time. But if there's... Couldn't he just walk the bike to, like, far away and then start it or something?
Walk the bike to some fields.
Walk the bike to work.
My dad used to have a motorbike that you had to pedal to get started. So he'd pedal it down the road and then kick it in. But I don't think these kind of people want those kind of bikes. These kind of people think that they're doing something big and clever and they want everyone to see. And it's pathetic.
I mean,
can I just say one thing? And I know I keep sort of being the sort of counterpoint to this, but
have you bought a motorbike, Cross?
I've recently got a motorbike. Yeah, I've got a motorbike and I'm doing shift work. That's two things you should know about me.
I do know you did ride a motorbike along a beach on your honeymoon, and you've never felt so alive.
Is that true? It wasn't my honeymoon, but yes, I did. I got a small moped and rode it round the island of Phu Quoc in Vietnam.
I rode a bike in East Africa once, and I scraped my knee because the driver went so like on its side that my knee scraped
so close to the pavement
on the ground. It was fucking horrible, actually. It's really scary.
Well, do you think this is what we? Do you think this is what needs to happen to this guy? He needs a wake up call, like a really scrape.
I mean, the thing I'm wondering if the guy isn't aware of the sort of suffering and stress he's causing, he might sort of go, "Oh shit, I had no idea that I was." So maybe it's worth saying something to him.
this might be a thing to communicate. I was also going to say that, like, going to bed earlier, I know Claire has written this in all caps, like it's a really bad thing. It's lovely. That's lovely, isn't it?
What time did she say it goes off? 3 a.m.
4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Yeah.
It's too early.
I get, like, if you... I really get the thing of not being able to go back to sleep because you're so churned up of, you know, the injustice of being woken up. But earplugs might help.
I think you should smash up his fucking bike. It's pathetic.
But then what would you get? A motorboat. Go down the street on a motorboat.
He's there trying to start up an outboard motor every morning. That's going to be a pain, isn't it?
What about, you know, that bit in Beverly Hills Cop where they put a banana in his tailpipe?
Yes.
Maybe if every single... Maybe like a little bit of a cheeky bit of sabotage might
cheeky
send
bit
a little
of criminal
a
damage.
Message.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this, Clark?
I was wondering, can you get like dampeners for a bike, or have I made this up?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, but these people want bikes that allow...
We don't know that about
this. Is
him,
like
though.
A choice. I'm telling you, if you buy that vehicle, it's not going to be a surprise to him that he's bought a big...
But what if it's the quickest way of him getting to work?
At 4 o'clock in the morning, the roads are empty.
What if he can't drive?
He could... Well, he should be on a motorbike.
What if for some reason he can drive a motorbike but not a car and we don't know why?
He's got really wide legs.
Those people aren't... He can't close his legs because his balls are too big. And he wants the whole world to know, so he's bought a loud motorbike. Listen, legs akimbo, get on public transport and have a seat to yourself. Take two seats to yourself. It's better for the planet and it's quieter. These motorbike people, honestly, they have to stay out.
You've never sounded all, so middle-aged, Tom, and I love it.
One of my best friends just
bought
a motorbike.
No, they're all middle-aged. All the motorbike people are middle-aged. They've got the kind of income that they can spend on a motorbike, and they think it's their last hurrah, and they think they can still be young. If they splash the cash on an expensive machine, they can stand outside and clean on a Sunday. It's the middle-aged people that are the problem. Pathetic.
Have you ever had one of those like motorbike taxis that they send to take you across London?
Oh, yeah, well, you've got to sit with your arms around somebody. Oh.
Terrifying. I hated it. Hated every second.
And they can chat to you through a little
a little mic.
A little mic.
Yeah.
They can ask.
It makes it worse in a way.
Are you all right? And you're like, no, I'm not all right.
I'm really
this
scared.
Is awful.
I'm really I wish I could have just gotten in there. That I don't want to hug you.
Yeah.
So what is our solution? Tom, you've gone sort of ballistic on this because obviously this is very close, literally close to home for you. You're thinking, stick a banana in the tailpipe, smash it up. Whereas Katie's gone for a more sort of sober, have a little chat with him and see if he realises the kind of noise
and
he's
earplugs.
Making.
And earplugs.
Work
and
on your own anxiety.
Yeah.
And talk to the neighbours and say, should we all approach him together? Unionise.
Yeah, I think a chat first, and if he doesn't listen, then...
Passive aggressive note on
well,
the
bike. Well, I think
one of those spiker things that you throw across the road in a police chase. let's hear your rev around now, Buster.
So anyway, making it maybe if you watch all of like
making it funny. Making this funny.
Anyway, making the idea of smashing up somebody's property and possibly killing him, so it fits into a comedy podcast.
No, like if you start watching like all the Sons of Anarchy or kind of, you know, those kind of 70s motorbike films, Easy
like
Rider.
Easy Rider, that kind of thing, yeah.
You might just like, every time you hear it, you'll have like... A good feeling.
So what you're saying, if you can't beat him, join him. Become a biker.
Like you initiate a Pavlovian response. Watch Easy Rider and eat cake, and then keep doing that until when
every
you wake
time you
up.
Hear it,
it's
you're
not
like,
a bad idea if they start. If she starts making a louder noise at around 2:30 a.m. into his letterbox, just as retaliation every
it's
day.
I think letterbox is a good one because you don't want to make a noise that's louder that's going to wake up the elderly neighbours who are already going
to bed.
So you've got
everyone to
counteract, buys their own massive bike and drives them off at various points throughout the day.
They just become a become a convoy.
What about
to work with him in a ride out.
Everybody on the street. This is good. Everybody on the street gets a bike. They all go out at 3:55. They rev their engines together. Then half of them, well, more than half of them, most of them, then get to go back to bed and have
they escort him to work.
It reminds me. One of my siblings sent me a news story. And it was from the close to the place where we grew up, just outside of Cardiff. And some two boys had been arrested because they'd driven around this village shouting at 5 a.m, wakey, wakey, through one of those loudonators, and they'd been arrested. It made me laugh so much. It was so puerile. But it's the sort of thing I would have done when I was 18. Dared each other to yell wakey wakey into a loud inhaler.
Wakey wakey.
Can you imagine how pissed off he would be shouting wakey wakey?
Wakey wakey.
It's so good.
Maybe that's the answer.
And then having to tell the police that's what
to counteract it, the police make them go out and go with a loud inhaler and say sleepy sleepy.
Sing a lullaby, yeah.
Oh, it was really good.
So I think that's the answer. Then you go and shout wakey wakey. You wakey wakey him up at 3.
On the days he's not working, wakey, you wakey wakey him. On the days he is working, he wakey wakeys you. Or convoy. I mean, I think there's something nice about the whole street. You know, like the whole street sending.
I'll tell you who isn't going to say that. Captain Planet.
Yeah, you're right.
Planet isn't going to like all these motorbikes, mate.
No,
maybe instead of electric motorbikes, get the bikes, put the cards in the spokes because those are loud.
You just ban motorbikes, basically, is the answer to this, and everyone should be on board with this. They're a blight on our society.
I think they're dangerous.
There isn't anything right with them, apart from that they look really sexy and cool.
Is that being sold?
They should be ornamental.
I've never seen you so passionate about anything, Tom. This is really got you.
He's ground his bike gears. Am I right?
Hello.
Can we make this funny, guys?
Mission accomplished.
Beef from a sorting out your beef
solved.
Food habits, beef from B via Beef Brothers Podcast at gmail.com.
These all real.
Get in touch. What's that?
Are these real?
These are all real. Yeah, these are all real.
I was half joking. Okay.
Do you have real listeners to this? Do people actually listen to this? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they pop it on, do some cleaning, they have a hell of a time. Hello, pappies and guest. I have a beef. So much beef. My housemate has some odd and frustrating food habits. The other day she cooked a mountain of rice just before she needed to leave. It was too hot to eat, so she put it in the freezer for a bit before eating a few mouthfuls. Surely mouthful, no? No. And abandoning the rest of the uncovered bowl in the fridge for days before throwing it away untouched. Just rice. Just make a big bowl of just plain rice. Anyway.
It's really hard to judge rice, isn't it, though?
Yeah, you always make way too much. Yeah. It's really hard to know.
That's true.
But at the same time, it's not the sort of thing I'd put on if I knew I was just about to go out either.
Yeah.
No.
Because it always takes slightly longer than you expect it to.
It is.
But anyway, is that her beef?
Okay. She's also taken to trying new recipes online, all well and good, but she never checks how many portions the recipe is for, and recently ended up making a Mexican beef dish for 8 that she didn't even like. Straight to the fridge. It goes to smell, take up space, and eventually be thrown away.
What? Mexican beef dish sounds like a generic title that you'd get on like a bad takeaway menu. Like, I'll have the Mexican beef dish, please.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we don't get many of those ordered.
The kind of place that does like it's got like a really massive menu and does like loads of different cuisines.
Does pizza,
around the world.
Yeah. It also does a carbonara, it does a Mexican beef dish.
You're trying to identify, well, what's the one good genre of food going to be here?
And it's none of them.
It's not going to be Mexican beef dish, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, why don't you cook together? I hear you cry. I'm an annoying vegan. Sorry. No need to apologise. How can I stop her from using the fridge as a sort of food purgatory before inevitably chucking it in the bin? Crosby, I know how you feel about food waste, so I'm sorry if this has been an uncomfortable read. B, front letters only.
Okay, B. Right. Firstly, I think the thing that leaps out at me there is B said, I'm an annoying vegan, so I can't cook with other people. I think that, in this day and age, is a mad philosophy to have, because vegan food has never been better.
If you live in London.
In 2022. No, but I'm talking about making it yourself. Like, vegan recipes are out there.
Okay, yeah.
Making it itself. It's never been better than nowadays. So you can cook. You know, if she's cooking meals that she's ending up not even enjoying, or a big bowl of plain rice, then you can make something nicer than that.
To be
that
fair,
both of you can eat.
That is vegan, right?
No, but
it is vegan.
So hang on. So are you saying to B, you do all of your flatmates' cooking?
No, not at all. I'm saying if you want to, she's saying, why don't you cook together? I'm an annoying vegan. But
no, but that's not B's. Like, the housemate's making Mexican beef dish. Like,
yes.
you can't impose a vegan diet onto your house.
No, I'm not saying that.
Eat together.
I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that some of the meals you could cook together. You know, I'm not saying you should make this person a vegan. I'm just saying
if I'm sharing a house with a vegan and they pipe up, let's share our meals, I'm going,
Nah, bruv.
I've made this Mexican dish. There's no beef in it, but it is a Mexican dish. And I know you enjoy a Mexican dish. I've made this. Would you like some? It's a different thing, isn't it? Surely.
You could normally as well just add... You could just add, like, some chicken afterwards.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. If you're like a vegan,
Tom's shaking his head, not on your Nelly.
The thing that intrigued me was, I know that you're not meant to put hot food in the fridge because it lowers the temperature, right? And it's like really bad for all the food inside the fridge, isn't it?
Right.
And bad for the planet. So I don't know if you're meant to not put hot things in the freezer. I assume it's going to like heat up your entire freezer and everything will go off.
I think putting a freshly cooked bowl of rice into the freezer is bad for a number of reasons.
That's the main thing that worries me about all of this.
Also, putting hot, like a hot sauce in the fridge or freezer will make it go sour as well. It's bad for the taste. It's bad for
the
flavour.
Changes the makeup of the food, right?
It's a mess.
So what's the solution? I mean, if it's right, if B's problem is food waste, then that's one thing. If their problem is just that they don't like the fact that they eat in a weird way, you kind of have to go just let them deal with it. If you're a vegan and you're cooking your own meals and you're you know, using the right amount of food and cooking nice things and eating them, that's fine. I appreciate the problem is it's the smelly fridge, isn't it? It's the stuff that's...
Yeah, I share a fridge with a vegan, so it's difficult.
I mean, what's like?
It's difficult.
Is it? You know, is it separate shelves? Is it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's kind of, like, to me, there's three things. There's three areas. There's the putting hot things in a fridge or freezer, which is the first problem. The second problem is her not being able to work out portions and food waste. And the third problem is sharing a fridge with someone who has different dietary requirements to you.
I've got a solution to number two, I think, which is buy smaller pots and pans. You know those, you know, like those little egg frying pans that you can get.
Yeah.
Remove your frying pan, replace it with the little egg frying pan. Get one of those proper little saucepans, you know, that are just like the sauce, you know.
Yeah,
saucepans, yeah.
I said toothpaste earlier. Similar vibe.
Yeah.
It's Welsh.
It's a Welsh thing, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, as in saucepan fach.
Saucepan fach, exactly. Saucepan fach.
Sorry, yes, to alienate everyone who is English.
So replace those with the, your really small kind of ones. You know, the ones that you get where they just do a little sauce in the restaurant. So everything
like
gets smaller.
Like in a doll's house, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to be able to control the portion size that's going on.
You can only cook one grade of rice at a time.
And
maybe
actually,
it's her eyes.
Actually,
maybe she needs glasses.
Yeah, and with a smaller fridge and freezer, she's not going to be able to fit in big bowls of rice either. So I think downscaling might be the answer here. Move yourselves into a caravan.
Like in the Twits.
Yeah, or like, you know, move into a caravan or something, and then she's not going to be able to go mad. You can't go mad in a caravan. I've tried to cook too much food in a caravan, and you can't. It's just that there aren't, you haven't got the facilities for it.
You've normally got either one or two hobs.
You can cook
really
one fray bentos, one tin of like potatoes, you know, and a fray bentos. That's about it, mate.
There
isn't a freezer. You know, there's a little fridge. It's running off the battery.
Scale it down.
Yeah. Scale it down. Scale it down. I like that.
I think scale it down is really good. So that actually does, that solves.
Hold on.
And also, if she's running late.
Are we saying that
moving
my
to a caravan.
My housemate cooks too much food. The solution is move to a caravan. That can't be right, can it?
And also, cause if she's made this big bowl of rice and she's running late, you could just drive her in the caravan.
If it's not a static caravan, then yeah.
it gives her time to eat it on the go, doesn't it?
People who live in a caravan, very rarely late.
Yeah.
Get in a convoy with all the bikes, taking this guy to work. Have a breakfast.
Have a lovely ricey breakfast.
Be solved.
Beer from the sorting out your beef.
Be solved.
Right, here we go.
One more. Let's get it done.
And this one.
Come on,
this
rattle
one
through
well.
It.
Let's
come on.
Rattle come on.
This beef. So this one, I think, this is an age-old debate. This is from Ian via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Afternoon to you all. I have a beef with my wife. Now, I don't want to divorce her, but I will if you cannot find a solution which involves her remaining in the house.
Oh, boy.
Big swing early doors from Ian here. This beef has escalated recently when I delved into it and thought the best medicine is to talk. Glad I did, because it meant I can't resolve this on my own now. It's gone too far. But basically, my partner puts a new roll of toilet paper with the flap at the back, so you can't quite get to it or roll it out easily. I, on the other hand, do it the proper way with the rolls flap rolling outwards. Hopefully this makes sense. I'm very anal about this, and I've tried using the paper the other, her, way, but it's not right. It's just not. So I started asking about a year ago nicely to put the flap towards the front when putting a new roll on the holder. Then I let a couple slip through the net and then just turn them myself like a good husband. And then
is that a euphemism? I'm just going to go and let a couple slip through the net.
Let a couple slip through the net.
It's a great thing about wearing fishnets. You don't have to take them down when you go for a poo.
Oh dear!
Like an image,
like those Play-Doh machines.
Oh man!
God, Lord above! What?
Oh what?
Oh, what?
What?
That's my new catchphrase.
It's good though. I like it.
Oh what?
Right. Recently, I thought while turning the roll again, she's doing this on purpose because statistically she would get it right if not 50%, at least 70% of the time, surely. I mentioned this and she says she doesn't think about it when she puts it on, but she must be. What's my next step to get the fucking flap pointing forwards, tar Ian? Right. First of all, Katie, is this something that bothers you?
Yeah, I mean, it just does. I've done it kind of by accident, or if I was in a hurry. Or if I thought that'll do, because I know I'm coming back here to this room, I'll do it this time.
There's unfinished business.
I'm interested. What I'm really curious about is really if she's doing it on purpose or not. And if she is, then why? And if it's to annoy him, or I'd love to know what her, and if it's because she prefers it, I'd love to know what her justification is, because it doesn't make sense in terms of the physics of pulling it backwards. So I've all my questions are for her, and she's not here to answer
them.
She's
not here. No. In fact, nor is Ian. So we're going to have to just kind of ponder these ourselves. It's quite a. It feels like the sort of thing you get in kind of like comedy movies where a couple don't really like each other, so they do little things. Right. You know, you see them doing little things to annoying each other. It's like a little quirk you see quite a lot. But do you think this is what's going on here with Ian's partner, that she's kind of moving it round the other way, or deliberately putting it on the other way, and then going...
What did he say? He said something, didn't he? Like he suspects that she's doing it deliberately.
Yeah. He said recently, I thought, while turning the role again, she's doing this on purpose, because statistically she would get it right, if not 50, at least 70% of the time, surely. I mentioned this and she says she doesn't think about it when she puts it on, but she must be.
I'm going to come out in favour of this person who is not thinking about it. I would go on record and say I don't think I've ever thought about it.
That's interesting.
And I think physically her muscle memory will probably mean she puts it on one way more than the other way, but I don't think there is any decision making going on in it. And I think maybe the way she goes, hand into the packet, out, think that it's probably always going the wrong way for him.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's on any level a choice. And also, I think it's an absence of thought that she's not even thinking. And honestly, this guy needs to get over this, or there's a second option for him. But it is never difficult to get to the end of a piece of loo roll. You just spin at the front until you get to the bottom.
But
bit.
I think you would always turn it around if you're someone who thinks about it, getting it the right way before you put it on. When you discover one the wrong way, you do just change it, I think. Yeah.
But if you don't think about it, so I would say his option. I would say, why not have two? Oh no, that doesn't quite work. I was going to say two toilet roll holders,
one on either side of the toilet. That. If you can do
one
that,
one that's his. You know, my wife and I we have a duvet each. It's
or go through system, with felt tip pen and mark the right side in every single roll, and then put them out. And then say, and then put up
draw
a sign.
Arrow with a sharpie.
Yeah, put up a sign and like put up a key that says this dot equals face out.
Yeah, that I like that, because that's the onus on him to do that, because it's clearly something that bothers him, doesn't affect her. So I don't think she should have to change her system too much.
Yeah, or because be the guy who does it. Just be the guy who does. Just make that one of your jobs.
What
in the
I
house.
Love about this is the kind of that it's the gender reversal of it. I really love that the kind of gendered cliche is that a woman would care about this more than a man, and I love that it's the other way around.
This is really bothering Ian. We've got three loos in the house.
Hello.
Wow.
Only one of them.
You're doing right.
Hello.
Ooh la la.
Bloody
Lou la la, if you will, please.
All right, triple bugs.
Trolls. For my three arseholes. Me and the two of you.
I like that kind of humour. Yeah,
oh, that's thank good you. Stuff. Thanks very
that's
much.
Good stuff. We finally got there. it took us 10 years, boys. 10 long years, but we've tickled Katie Wicks.
So I've sat at the front row of your seat, stony faced, for 10 years, and you finally cracked me up.
We said we'd crack her. We'd get there in the end.
Took a while. We wore her down. Just a decade of work. But
I never saw.
We're all going to quantum. We're all going to quantum leap out of our bodies now.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Where are you going to go? To a wet market.
So we're going to quantum leap into Tom Hanks' body.
We'll see you soon.
But we've only got a toilet roll holder in one of those toilets, And what? It doesn't matter. We keep the toilet on the cistern, the toilet roll on the cistern, and it's fine. Doesn't make a difference.
If you've got a cistern.
Yeah.
He's got three.
I think it's absolutely fine.
When you stay somewhere and the toilet is placed behind you. So you, I mean, this is more for women when you're sitting down. So you have to do this.
Oh.
To get it. I really hate that.
That is why I always face the wall.
Ah, like a cool teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can prop a book on the cistern.
Yeah, exactly.
You can read a magazine or whatever while you're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just go the other way, actually. It's quite invigorating.
We did it.
Because the flush comes right down the middle.
Oh, it's like a bidet as well, isn't it? But for you.
So you do that drink. Like on Would I Lie to You at the end to flush. And do you say it was a true poo?
Yeah.
And then press it.
Was it a true poo? It was a true poo.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. He really did do a poo.
Or is it like the voice, you flush and you turn round?
You turn yourself around.
would I lie to poo? Should we pitch and Would I Lie to Poo?
So you've got David Mitchell and Lee Mack and Rob Brydon. They're all sat on lavs. We don't know which one of them is shitting at the time because the bogs are behind desks.
So is it like a close up on all their faces, like to see who is doing
which
it, and they tell a story at the same time?
Only one of these comedians is shitting. Yeah. They have to tell their story.
Oh my God.
That's not a bad idea for a show, actually.
That is good.
Should we go to Dave?
Definitely watch that.
It's got a Dave vibe, UK TV vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely, there. I mean, that's the thing, because they're always looking, you know, like in the way that Cats does Countdown, it's like it took the old format of 8 out of 10 Cats and, you know, and Countdown spun it on its head. This is, you know, it's two things that the nation loves. Wilty and shitting. We've combined two things that people are into them, right? They're very, very popular.
Yeah.
This is good. This could be the making of us.
Yeah, you get some top names.
Talking about the toilet roll being behind you, we did a gig in Ireland. I think it was in Limerick, and I was in the loo after the gig, and I looked to both sides of me and behind me. And I couldn't see the toilet roll. And it was beyond the, you know, like it wasn't like I could change loos. Couldn't see the toilet roll. So I sort of rifled through my pockets and I found a receipt. It was all I had. And so I had to do the business with a receipt. And then as I was sort of trying to flush away the receipt, I saw the toilet roll.
Oh,
it was just there. I don't know why I'd missed it. It was just on one of the walls. It was a little bit higher maybe than you would normally put it. It wasn't eye level. But I just sort of, I'd looked kind of like from to both sides and behind me and gone, well, only one thing for it. I'm going to have to wipe my arse on a receipt. And it was awful. It was really painful and scratchy
awful. That's like a Greek tale. It was like epic and really like feels really fundamental to being a human.
Pulisses.
I really felt like I learned a lesson like you do when you hear a Greek tale. And it was like, slow down, take your time, really be present, really look.
Mm.
It'd make for a really good school assembly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's so school assembly. You're so right.
It reeks of Mr. Crosby's forgot to prepare an assembly. So he's telling us the story of his poo at the weekend. You can see, like, the kids would love it, and then the teachers would be like,
teacher going,
Crosby's really phoned that in.
Yeah. Rifling through his pockets for an aid memoir.
So many of our assemblies were things like, this is what happened to Icarus. That is actually what our assemblies were like.
I
really want to make a documentary about primary school assemblies.
Oh yeah,
and like you spend time with different headmasters or headmistresses, and then you film a bunch of their assemblies, and you get them talking about their assemblies, because I mean, like, especially at primary school level, those head teachers have a captive audience. They have carte blanche on what they want to do. A lot of them will play the guitar because they play the guitar and they want to sing, or they've got a song they want to. Like, it's such a fascinating level of performance that goes on all the time. And if you're
Yeah, like especially at primary school level, I think it'd make for a really good series.
Yeah. It's a really good idea.
It'd be cute.
We had a teacher who would, yeah, again, he loved playing the guitar. One time he played a song he'd written about how much he liked Elton John.
Yeah, here you go. That's exactly
And that wasn't primary school. That was secondary school. That was the head of sixth.
Oh my God.
Played a song about how much he enjoyed Elton John. It was a great song. I loved it.
Yeah,
he was selling CDs afterwards. I bought one.
There was one comic relief day where we had to make a suggestion of what would be funny. And my suggestion was, I think it'd be funny if all the teachers had to eat their lunch, sat cross-legged in the school hall like we did, and all the pupils got to sit up on the, you know, big tables and chairs. And in the assembly, the headmaster, he picked my suggestion and read it out, and everyone sort of went, ha ha, that was funny. And he said, so this is what we're going to do. Katie and I are going to have lunch together at the big table, and you're all going to watch and have your, just sit, you know, where you are. So it was really weird and embarrassing. So he made us have, me and the headmaster had this like romantic dinner for two on the stage. And I was like, maybe 9. And I just had my normal, like, packed lunch, and he had his meal. But he'd kind of put water in a carafe thing. Carafe, is that what you say?
Yeah.
And had, like, pretended to pour me out wine.
So he went on a date with you?
Yeah, in front of the school. That's basically what it was. He, instead of doing my suggestion, he went, so basically we'll have a date and everyone will watch. And it was, I felt so uncomfortable. And when he poured the water, I said, I could get used to this. And I was nine. I just remember really clearly saying that, thinking that's what you're supposed to say. It was so weird.
I could get used to this.
And you were flirting with your teacher.
Yeah, I was 9, and it was creepy because the rest, until I left for big school, it's like we had this secret when we looked at each other. It was really mad and intense.
Oh, wow. How did that affect your relationship with the other kids in the school?
The other sex, like, what you say. I don't.
How is that formed? Yeah. I know everyone you've ever been to bed with has to wear a mortarboard from now on. I know.
Call me Mr. Tom Hanks.
It wasn't a posh enough school. And no one was wearing a mortarboard, believe me.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a posh enough school because you all sat, you had your lunch on the floor, sat cross-legged.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just like a tiny little primary school in South Wales. I don't know. I think some kids were a bit jealous. It was like, why have I been picked out to go on a date?
Yeah.
I could imagine. That's what I was thinking. If it's a film, you could pan across a line of like other kind of 9-year-olds being like, that son of a
bitch. Yeah. But I also remember the vibe was nobody gave a shit as well. Like, it was just like, okay, it's Red Nose Day. So I guess, you know, it's crazy, whatever. It's a crazy day.
I could get used to this is incredible.
That's unbelievable. Well,
I could get used to this.
Have you used that line since? Have you used that? Do you ever use that?
I really hope not.
When someone's pouring you a pint at the bar, I could get used to this.
You're just saying it seriously. Can I get you a drink? I could get used to this.
I'm going to start using that now. I'm definitely next time. Oh, yeah, just pouring some orange juice in the morning. I could get used to this.
only one glass though, Crosby, else you'll be weeing in one of your three toilets.
I can't go for the hat trick.
Well, there you go. Is that beef solved?
I mean, is it? I feel like we've moved away from it now. We could certainly get used to it.
Buy beef solved.
That's our solution. Listen, Ian, you could get used to this. So just get used to it, mate.
If every time it happens, he thinks, I could get used to this. I think it will be like, it will feel like charming.
Yeah, totally.
Beef solved. Katie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks. It's nice to see you.
It's lovely to see you as well. Do you want to just very quickly tell us about your book, where people can get it?
Oh, yeah. So I've written a book, and it's out at the moment in hardback. You can get it in all the usual places. But I've just finished doing the audiobooks. So that'll be out soon, which is exciting. And it's a memoir. It's called Delicacy. And as you'd imagine, it's about my life. And, you know, it's funny things alongside some quite kind of depressing things. But I've tried to make it funny. But, you know, it's thoughtful and
wry. Does it feature the story of you and the headmaster?
No, it doesn't even feature that. That's how good this book is, that story was rejected. So imagine how good it is.
Oh, how tantalising. We got a deleted scene from the book. I love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You've been an absolute joy.
It was lush. Thank you.
From the sorting out your beef.
So there we go. What a treat that was. Check out Katie Wicks's book. It's definitely going to be worth a read.
Absolutely right. And if you enjoy Katie Wicks, then we have a bonus beef with Katie on our Patreon. So an extra bonus beef that wasn't included in the episode. And that can be found at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, along with all of our extra bonus beefs that we've done, all of our Flatshare lockdowns, all of our Love Sex Shagdowns, loads of other stuff. The jingle is a single from our Flatshare Slamdowns. There's loads of good stuff over on the Patreon. Over 100 episodes that you get immediately as soon as you join. So well worth joining.
There we go. Thanks for your ear canals. As always, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Caution team. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Riff, 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 riff. Riff. Please be upstanding. Riff, riff, riff. For I'm a dog, and it's the Patreon neighborhood. Watch Ruff call.
'Twas a rough, rough night.
Ruff, ruff.
Ruff, ruff, ruff. I'm a dog that is coming apart at the seams because my owner is Leon Eames. Ruff, ruff,
ruff, ruff. Ruff, 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 ruff. I'm a dog and I'm always talking bobbins because my owner is Callum Robbins. Ruff, ruff,
ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff, ruff. Oh, ruff. Oh, I ruffed too hard. How hard, I hear you ask? Well, as hard as Evie Howard. Ruff, 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 ruff. Very, sorry, I got very confused there because you didn't tell me you were a dog.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
Oh, do I have to be a dog?
Ruff, 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 ruff. I am a dog and I am a boy. A dog boy, dog boy, and my owner's Lee Conroy. Woof, 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 woof.
I'm a dog and I'm also a boy. The other night I went to the pub and got drunk. And now, let me just tell you, my head is sore. And my owner is Kevin Redshaw. Ruff, 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 ruff.
I'm not a dog at all. It makes me feel very forlorn. Just like Carruth playing corn.
Ruff, 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 ruff. I am a dog and I am a boy. That is plain for all to see. Take a look at my big dog dick.
Oh,
my owner's name is Mark BB. Ruff, 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 ruff.
Oh. I am a dog, but I'm mostly a boy. Can you see from my massive nuts? Please look at my nuts and appreciate my nuts, for they make me a boy. I am a dog. Look at my dog dick. It is slightly curly. I am a dog. I am a boy, and my owner is Robert Shirley. Woof, 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 woof.
I'm not a dog, but I'll never tell you what I am. But I...
Bye.
Look at my massive dog dick. In fact, there's a lot of them. You could say they're similar to others, but don't worry about that now. Woof, woof, woof.
Woof, 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 woof.
Oh,
Come on. Come on, cow dog. You can do it.
Come on, cow dog.
Come on, look, cow dog. Look, search you for the hero dog inside look yourself. Dog.
Come on, dog. Cow dog.
Look how I wield. And
you wield.
Who's that over there milking me? It's Matthew Passfield.
Woof, 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 woof. Woof, 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 part dog, woof, woof, oh boy, and stare into my asshole, it'll give you the joy. Look at my dog dick and cause a palaver. My owner's name is Kieran Lava. Woof, 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 woof. Dog boy, dog boy, woof,
dog
woof,
boy, dog woof, boy, dog boy, dog boy. That's what they say when they see me running through a field of hay. They say, watch Whoa. Out, dog, don't scratch your dick, cause that hay is scratchy, and that's the trick. You gotta tuck your dog dick into your asshole if you're running through a field of parsley. That's why I am old. That's why that was advice was given to me by my owner, Simon Housley.
Woof, 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 woof. I'm not a dog. I apologize.
Never explain, never apologize. You are not.
I'll tell you what, I'm also not. There's no fucking way I'm a fucking pig. Look at my twirly dick.
Cow dog.
And cow dog. Hello, it's Becky Twig.
Hi, Becky Twig.
Woof, 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 woof. Mostly dog, and sometimes a cow. But can I be a boy? I'll find out how. I'm gonna run through this field with my big dog dick. I'm gonna stick it in my ass till it makes me sick. And then I'll run around and say, fuck you, old man. Old MacDonald, stick your farm up your ass. I've got a new owner, he's the real man. And his name is James Peter Sam.
I've got a dick, and listen to me. I painted it blue so that everyone can see. I'm a dog, I'm a dog, and I swirl it around. I'ma slap it on my belly, make a slap slap sound. Let me tell you about my balls. Let me tell you about my dick. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened when I went to Crufts. let me tell you what happened when I went to Crufts. I showed them my dick. I said, is this enough? They said, it's way too much. The category is most obedient, don't you see? And the first rule of being an obedient dog is you don't whip out your throbbing hog. So get out of here, you silly guy. Get out of here before you make an old woman cry. Get out of here. And I get out of here, before I catch feelies. Get out of here with your owner, Tim Seeley.
Woof, 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 dog boy. Woof, 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 woof.
I'm not a dog. Oh, look at me. I am so sad to not be a dog. Wandering around my field, I just want to come inside and be loved. But I find it too upsetting. Oh, the people, they slaughter and eat my family. It is so deathly. Please save me, Tracy Jeffrey.
Woof,
only joking, I'm a dog.
Woof, 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 woof. That concludes today's Patreon Neighborhood Watch Rough Call. The musical is saved.
Hooray!
Hooray!
We saved it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.